You're listening to Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. While many look at the Super Bowl as the pinnacle of the advertising season for some companies, another sporting event is a larger investment, and Current State's Emmanuel Berry joins me in the studio to explain what's going on.
Hi, Mark. Well, the Super Bowl is big for advertisers, as we all know, but the Olympics are also a coveted time for companies. To learn more about Olympic ads, I spoke with Rajiv Batra. He's a professor of marketing at the University of Michigan and an expert in global branding and advertising. He started our conversation by explaining what an Olympic sponsorship is.
Usually what that means is that that company has paid the International Olympic Committee a very large sum of money, which could be something like $40 to $50 million. And that's a combination, I believe, of cash as well as supplies. So for when I say supplies, for example, you may have a watch-keeping company like Omega become the official timekeeper of the Olympics and set up all the timing devices and so on. So it's a combination of money and supplies. And in return for that, they become one of the very small number of what the Olympics calls the TOP list, which is, I believe, 15 to 20 global companies that are these top Olympic sponsors. And they get the rights then to use that sponsorship in their advertising, their packaging, their events, their client relationships, et cetera.
So there are a lot of long-standing Olympic sponsors that I come to mind, like Coke, Visa, McDonald's. Are there any newer corporations that have taken on this position?
Yes, there's been some turnover in terms of electronics companies from Asia. IBM at one time used to be a sponsor for many years, and then I think they concluded they weren't getting their money's worth, so they stepped out. And then Lenovo from China became a sponsor, and then they stepped out, and then Acer became a sponsor, and I don't think they are back now. So there's been some turnover in that slot, but, you know, companies like Coca-Cola and GE and McDonald's and so on and Visa have been sponsors for a very long time. So there's a little turnover now and then, but for the most part, you have a tremendous amount of stability there.
What does it mean for these brands to be able to say, I'm an Olympic sponsor? I mean, what's that branding benefit like for them, relaying their message to consumers?
In the case of some, a very few of these brands, such as Acer, for example, or Lenovo, there may be some awareness-building benefit, but that's not true of most of them because most of them are already well-known companies. The way they gain is mostly by associating their brands with the values that the Olympics are known for. Obviously, with the Olympics, there is competitive excellence, but there's also a lot of humanity, human emotions. There's friendship, there's grace, there's respect. You might even call it sort of sentimentality, if you wish. And so brands that are connected with the Olympics benefit by association with those human values. The other aspect of the benefit is the global leadership perception. By being one of the handful of 10, 20 brands that are featured with the Olympics, these brands become seen as global leaders. They gain in stature. And I think that's a major benefit that they get.
You mentioned earlier the price that these companies pay to be sponsors. How does that compare, say, to the price for a Super Bowl spot?
Well, this year, a Super Bowl spot ran for about $4 million for 30 seconds. The Olympic sponsorship, I mentioned the figure of $40 to $50 million, but that actually understates it massively because beyond the $40 or $50 they give the Olympics, these companies typically end up spending another $100 million, $150 million in terms of the advertising and the packaging and the events that leverage that sponsorship. So you're talking about a total of, let's say, $150 to $200 million. The gains are very different as well. So with the Super Bowl, it's a United States limited event. You reach 108 million this year, million people. You reach them once, you know, with a 30-second spot. Plus, of course, there's the viral conversation about the ads that they run and so on. With the Olympics, it's something that's clearly global. It's seen in 200 countries around the world. There's an audience of, I think, believe roughly 5 billion people. There's tremendous repetition and frequency because people, you know, tune into the Olympics events for over 2 weeks. So the scale is very different. And I guess those would be the differences.
Compare a little bit about what a Super Bowl ad is like compared to, say, an Olympic ad.
Well, the Super Bowl is, in fact, research has been done on this, comparing the Olympics and the Super Bowl in terms of the associations that people have with them and the values they symbolize and so on. So, for example, there's a company in New York called BAV Consulting, and they did a research report on this recently. And the Super Bowl is more fun, more approachable, more edgy, more dynamic, more energetic in some ways, while the Olympics are more about being down to earth, socially responsible, authentic, original, etc. So the kinds of imagery that these two events give the brands that get connected with them is sort of different. And so if you want to use analogies, I think a lot of people would agree that Coca-Cola, which has been an Olympic sponsor for a very long time, is more a brand that fits the Olympic spirit, while arguably a brand like Pepsi, which is more youthful, irreverent, and so on, fits the Super Bowl. So I think there's a difference in the character of the two events, not just their scale and the expense involved.
Beyond just the marketing in the sense of the commercials that we're seeing, there's also, you know, you get to feature those Olympic rings on your product. What's the value of that?
Well, that's a way of symbolizing and communicating your Olympic sponsorship on your packaging and in various pieces of collateral and your advertising. So it's a communication device, really. Plus, of course, in terms of the equities, if you will, the things that people connect with the Olympics, the Olympic rings are a very important symbol of the Olympics, along with the torch, the flame. So it's a shorthand way to communicate the unity, the uniting nature of what the Olympics are all about. That's what the rings are all about. And I think that's the idea I mentioned earlier of the Olympics being about shared humanity. And so this notion of uniting all of us all across the world, that's a kind of idea that is very relevant to a brand like Coca-Cola, a brand like McDonald's, a brand like even Visa, or a brand like P&G today, which talks about how it helps the moms of the athletes.
Do companies actually get kind of what they pay for? I mean, is that exposure and this association worth it for them?
That's hard to say. I think with any type of sports sponsorships in general, it's very hard to document the actual return on the incredible investment that companies make. There are some efforts to scientifically assess whether people's attitudes towards brands get improved and raised and whether more people end up buying the brands more often. But honestly, it's an imperfect art. And while I'm sure these sponsors do their studies and do try to calculate ROIs, at the end of the day, a lot of this is gut feel and judgment about what's good for the brand.
Have the advertisements changed that much over the years? I mean, some of these companies have been doing these ads for what seems like decades now. Are there any surprises?
No, I don't really see a lot of surprises. Unlike the Super Bowl, where controversy and originality are very important because people watch the Super Bowl in part for the ads themselves, that's not true of the Olympics. And the Olympics are about, you know, being classic and authentic and original and so on. And so it's a long-term kind of thing. And so I don't see the Olympics being the kind of event where you want to show how different and edgy and controversial you are. So stability is the norm. The ads don't change all that much. Obviously, the creative changes, the people in them change. You need to keep them fresh. But the ideas themselves, I don't think they change a lot.
Rajiv Batra is a professor of marketing and director of the Yaffe Center for Persuasive Communication at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome.
For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.